Herr von Herbert, Reel 5.
If I could ask you to repeat what you were saying about your attempt to get through the Allied lines in 45, because although we've recorded it, we've got a bit of interference on the tape.
I think I told you that I promised the wife of General Kösting, who married only in 43, the widow of a good friend of him who was ambassador in Paris. And then I promised his wife, he didn't like at all that he, after having been thrown out of the Caucasus and after his mission as plenipotentiary general of the Caucasus was finished, he got another job as general of the volunteers in the German army in the general staff. And then I told her, well, if the war is over, I promise you I'll bring you home your general. And then in the beginning, for the first days of May, we were near Lofa, and our task was only with a staff unit of about 50 men to defend the Alpine fortress, which didn't exist. So I told the general, now we will take you home. And because his home was very near, on the about 30-40 miles distance, and I asked one of my friends, Oberleutnant Reismüller, who was had been served in the Alpine Regiment, to join me and to bring home General Kösting. But I told the general, on this expedition, I am the commanding officer, and then the deputy is Reismüller, and you are just following our order. Excuse me, sir, for taking this, to upsetting all the hierarchy. And so we went by car to post near the front line, and then I went to the division, the Alpine division, which was there in charge, and looked at their chart, and I discovered that on the road which we had to take, there was an Alpine regiment to which my friend Reismüller had belonged. So that's all right, there we can pass it without any difficulty. We marched on the road, I came around the corner, and suddenly there was an SS unit, which he did not expect. And it was that we had to explain why we were crossing the lines, because that was absolutely inadmissible, and we risked to be hanged immediately on spot. So I had a very good inspiration. I said to the Sturmbannführer, the battalion commander, I said, this is the famous General Kösting, the great expert on Russia. On orders of Admiral Dönitz, he has to contact the American command in order to continue the war against the Soviet Union together with the Americans. And he said, he was very much convinced and thought that was a very good idea. He said, I wish you good luck, sir, and Heil Hitler. We went round the corner, and then Hitler, Kösting said, you are really a naughty little boy, but you have quite a good imagination. So we brought him home, and we had a good dinner and good wine. And after 2 days, I went to see the American captain, being the commandant of the nearby village, and I told him, there is General Kösting, he has been in the German resistance, he's a very decent man. And I said, I want to go home to see my wife in Austria. I'm at home, my home is Austria. I didn't tell him whether I was Austrian or what I was. Could you give me a permit? He said, no, I can't give you a permit, but I warn you, because in Kösen, in the valley, there is an SS unit. They have orders to pick up all the German soldiers running around there. I said, thank you so much, I know this unit. And so I went not through the valley, but always on the mountains, and only passed through the valley at a certain point, very carefully avoiding any contact with the Americans or with the SS. And then I arrived at home at Kitzbühel, and there the war was over for me. And then, again, to end up the story, Kitzbühel was occupied by the Americans. And I came into, by pure coincidence, I came into contact with the Americans, and they treated me nicely because they knew, the CIA knew about Count Schulenburg, and they knew something about the German resistance, and anyhow the population in Austria was also in favor for me and my wife. So we lived happily there, and then the Americans went away and the French took over. And the American officer said, well, you better go with us, because the French take all German soldiers, officers, to reconstruct France. It's a very good idea, but probably you wouldn't like it so much. So I went with them to Salzburg. It was the 42nd Infantry Division. But they were transferred to Vienna, and then I was lost in Salzburg and staying with a former German officer who was a friend of mine. But we had no, we had nothing to live, and they had also no, only their marks for certain, what do we call their tickets for butter or no butter bread and so on. And so I decided to go home to Kitzbühel. And then I saw just the poster I saw walking down to the American commandant in order to get permission to go back to Kitzbühel. I saw a poster, office of the State Department. And I said, well, let us go in. Perhaps there are some of my friends. So I walked in and I said, well, I'm a friend of Chip Bowen, George Ken, Charlie Thayer, I would like to contact them. I said, come back tomorrow and you can send letters to them because they are not here. I'm going back to to the house where I was living, and I had a lumbago, and so I marched rather painfully, sitting down in front of the house, and suddenly big American stops, an officer jumps out and takes me into his arms, and I'm crying because of my lumbago. And he said, don't you recognize me? It's Charlie. I said, well, you are now a colonel. Yes, you have to send an attention before me because you are only a captain. But he said, well, you know, I said, you must tell me everything about what was happening to Köstring and so on, to Schulenburg. And I'm very much interested. I said, Charlie, first of all, medical treatment, then a good drink. And then Charlie took me to his officer's mess. There was a doctor, he treated me. And then I entered the mess, and he said, Charlie said, gentlemen, stand up and greet Captain von Herber from the German army. He's a very good friend of mine, and he was a member of the German resistance. And then I worked for SOS. I was incorporated in SOS in Salzburg and worked there.
OSS,
yeah. I wrote memos about the volunteers, and I tried to explain that they ought not to be extradited to the Soviets because they were fighting on our side. And well, that all was in vain.
We've heard a great deal about the work of Admiral Canaris,
yes,
in the Abwehr during the war.
Yeah.
Did you have any connection with
yes.
that at all?
Well, he was a good friend of Köstring, and I met Canaris once in the Ukraine. We had a long evening together discussing what was going on or what was happening, and we agreed that anyhow that was the end of Germany and something had to be done. He was a man, Abwehr protected the conspiracy working against Hitler. He was a wonderful protection, but unfortunately, Canaris was arrested, and then that was the beginning of the end. And that was also the idea that the last attempt to kill Hitler had to be made as soon as possible before the whole network was arrested. And the other reason was that time was running out. And we knew already that the end of Germany was near, and probably even the killing of Hitler would have no result on the future fate of Germany. But as we said, it had to be done in order to show to the world that there were Germans who were not following Hitler, who were prepared to sacrifice their lives in order to kill him. That's what General Francesco said. We have to do it. This is our responsibility before history to do it, to show to the world that not every German was a Nazi.
So how often would you have met Canaris, do you think?
Pardon?
How often do you think you
Well, I met him two or three times, together with Köstring.
In Russia?
In Russia, yeah, in Ukraine, yeah. Probably Köstring saw more often. It's possible, I don't know that, but that doesn't matter. I saw him two or three times.
You talked, you've used the phrase the diplomatic resistance.
Yeah.
Did that really take mainly the form of giving certain information to Western
yes.
diplomats?
Yes, that was my job. But naturally, Weizsäcker organized together with, while cooperating with General Beck in order to try to overthrow Hitler. And it's very interesting, Weizsäcker tried very hard together with Burckhardt. He was a high commissioner of the League of Nations in Danzig. He was a Swiss. And they tried very hard to avoid the war in 1939, but naturally in vain.
After the war, during the Allied occupation,
yeah.
you said that you did this work in Salzburg
yes.
originally.
Yeah.
What happened to you after that?
Well, then I was, when the OSS left also, Charlie was transferred to Korea. And then I went to Wiesbaden. There was an American team, a historical team, exploring the past, you see. And I worked there as a worked with them. Being already a free man, I had been dismissed as far from the German army. And then I got a letter from the Bavarian minister president asking me to work in the Bavarian state chancery. And was very amused. This letter arrived just in the moment when I had already decided to emigrate to the United States, because on the staff of this historical team, there was a Captain Harden who had studied before the war in Munich, who was very fluent in German. We were very good friends. And he was already demobilized, and I wanted to go with him to the States in order to work as an assistant or somewhere in a history faculty in the United States. And I got this letter, and I said, well, I don't know if I accept that, but we have plans now together, Peter, to go to the States. And 3 hours later, he got orders, demobilization revoked, you are going, you are transferred to the American Consul General in Munich. And then Peter said, well, nothing America, now we will try to build up Bavaria together. If that works, we will stay in Germany. If not, you go to the States. And so I stayed in Germany and ended up as permanent undersecretary and ambassador.
Since the war, do you think there has been any danger to people like yourself from people who living in Germany who might have resented your role as a dissident during the war?
No danger whatsoever, but I know that very few people said we won't have anything to do with him, because they thought that it was a wrong idea to start a conspiracy against the leader of the country. But very few. I was attacked. There is a rightist journal edited by Mr. Fry. And he is a double Nazi, I would say. And he attacked me several times, but I couldn't care less. But naturally, probably also the Republicans won't appreciate very much what I did. But again, I couldn't care less.
But you haven't been handicapped in any way?
No, not at all. Well, I never tried to work out privileges for me because I had been a listener. I didn't speak of it. Because my opinion was there have been 3 great failures in my life. First of all, the attempt on the life of Hitler was no success. Then to prevent the outbreak of the war was unsuccessful. The diplomatic resistance was unsuccessful. And also then all the volunteers, Russian volunteers in the German army, were handed over to the Allies. So three great failures in my life. No reason to mention them, no reason to write a book about it. And only in, I think in 79, Professor Starr, who was head of the George Kennan Institute for Advanced Russian Studies in Washington, I met him by pure coincidence in Aspen, Institute for Humanities Studies, I think. And he said, well, do you know by coincidence Johnny Herbart? I said, it's me. And he said, well, you are mentioned in many books and so on, but you never said a word yourself, come and see me. And so I went twice for 3 or 4 weeks to Washington, staying with the ambassador, and then telling him all what had happened with me since 31. And then at the end I said, well, no, you give me, George Kennan Institute was a wonderful institution. Every day and in the night it was typed what I had recorded with him. He corrected it. And I said, now give me the whole work we did. And I said, well, that must be a book. So it was published in England and in the United States, then translated into German, then translated into Italian, and now into the Polish language. And now it will be translated into Russian.
Now in 1993, who were the senior surviving German resistors who are still alive?
Well, there is, for instance, there are quite a lot of the younger ones. Major von den Busche, Hauptmann von Kleist. He is head of the a research team for military affairs in Munich, very famous. He is the head, and he every year there is a big meeting of international meeting under his his secretaryship. There are quite a lot. Well, many have been executed, but there are some are still alive, and we. Major von den Busche is one of them. Then Hammerstein, the son of. Oh, there are, I would say, 2 or 3 dozens are still alive. Some of them died also naturally after the war, natural death. Sometimes I have been asked, "You have been against Hitler. You conspired against him as a diplomat. Why did you join the army and fight for him?" My answer was that. I had tried to emigrate in 33, 38. It didn't work because I wanted absolute security to get a job in a foreign country, in America or in England, with my family and also my parents. That didn't work, so I stayed. And then I emigrated into the army because the army was the only institution which could take action against Hitler. That was my reason. And so... right from the beginning, I was convinced that we were fighting the war in order to lose it, in order to get rid of Hitler. So that was the problem. We were fighting, where we always said sometimes in wartime, our prayer was, "Good Lord, let us fight for the right cause and with good allies." Unfortunately, if we didn't fight for the right cause, we had not the best allies. Well, unfortunately, the German resistance didn't get very much support from outside. The only ones, we got some support from the Swedes and from some single English people and American people, but not from the governments. The reason probably was that, first of all, the British and Americans didn't want to have any relations with the resistance because of not offending or the Russians or rising the distrust of the Russians. That's which is understandable. Then naturally, unconditional surrender was a terrible blow for us, because many people said it doesn't make any difference if we remove Hitler or not. The fate of Germany will be the same without Hitler or with Hitler. And then I think why did the Americans or the British especially not trust the resistance? Well, because first of all, they had the idea that the ideas of the foreign policy of the resistance was not very different from the policy of Hitler, which was a mistake, because we made it absolutely clear that we wanted to pull out of all foreign occupied countries, France, Poland, Russia, and so on, the Balkans. Naturally, we were not prepared to offer immediately Austria as a Sudeten area, because we consider them, or Danzig, we consider them to be really populated by German population. But naturally, we knew the war was lost, we were at the mercy of the Allies, and finally we were also prepared to give up Austria and the Sudeten area in order to save at least the rest of Germany. There we are.